Hello, Buggy fans. We are back with yet another season of Shoot the Shit. And if you can believe it, I can't believe it. We are in our fifth season of this podcast. That's right. If Shoot the Shit were a CMU student, it would be taking what we all know and love as its buggy year, the fifth year, and we are going as strong as ever in this fifth season. We got stories from all across the history of buggy, different topics, characters, all the stuff you've grown to know and love, bringing you the characters, the stories behind the scenes of this sport. So we appreciate you all tuning in once again, and get ready, buckle up your safety harnesses, because it is time to shoot the shit. Gee whiz, people, can you believe this is the last episode of this season of Shoot the Shit? Because it is, but that means that Carnival is this weekend. Race day is almost upon us. I am excited, and to help get you excited, we are taking the clock back 1 year to 2023, talking to all three of last year's winning drivers, get a little bit of a recap of what that experience was like for them, the culture of their teams, the thrill of victory on race days, peer a little bit into a crystal ball about what might happen this year. If this doesn't get you excited for this year's races, I don't know what will, so let's strap in everybody for the final episode of this season as we shoot the shit.
Hi, I'm Cynthia. I'm class of 23. I was a driver for Spirit, and I was also a chairman for Spirit my last 2 years.
Hi, I'm Juju. I was Pike's head driver and also ended up stepping into many different roles as the organization got all silly. And I graduated in 2023.
And I'm Leah. I graduated last May 2023. I was head driver for Apex, and I was social chair before that.
Awesome. Cool. Well, appreciate y'all joining today. Hopefully have some fun conversations. Kind of talking about last year's race day. I think one thing that is probably interesting and in common about three of you is, would you all have started in 2019? So I guess, right, you probably all were the first cohort to have all, or to like not have had a normal pre-COVID race day. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So I guess kind of my question for that is just like, maybe talk a little bit about being a driver under that circumstances, which is such a kind of, you know, practice-based role, and I guess kind of like how it felt last year, like finally being a senior, and what that experience was like, you know, having kind of never had a kind of quote-unquote normal or old race day, and how, as a driver, that kind of felt figuring out your craft over those 4 years.
Well, I mean, I think I can start with, I think losing race day my freshman year was just like such a huge blow. Just because I feel like for Pike, we had really come a long way with, you know, our head mechanics and our chairman. I know Rob won chairman of the year that year. And so I think there was a lot of expectation. We had Katie, it was her first year as head driver. You know, there was two of us as new drivers. And it was just such a huge loss, especially knowing the next year that we had no idea how that would look. We had no idea how long we were going to be out from COVID. And honestly, I wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to drive a buggy again after COVID, just because I didn't know what the world was going to look like. And also, like, everybody talks about the freshman 15. I didn't deal with the freshman 15, but like the COVID 10, I was like, oh my God, if we ever do buggy again, all of the bread that I've been baking during quarantine is going to go straight to my hips. And then I'm never going to fit in a buggy ever again. And I was horrified. But thankfully, as we all know, that didn't happen. And thankfully, I continued to fit in the tiny Pike buggies through my senior year. So thank God for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Juju about 2019. Like, I know our chair for that year, one of our chairs for that year, Chris Fulton, was so hyped about race day. And then just everything happened. And the next year as well, really, like 2020, even though we technically got a quote unquote race day, like with all the restrictions and I mean, it was more like time trials than anything. So it was really, oh, sorry, go ahead, Juju.
Oh no, I'm just, it was so funny that you mentioned that year too, because that's the year that I got my crash. So I busted my head open
Oh
2 weeks before
no.
that race day. And so I really didn't have a full race day until my junior year. And so I was like shitting my pants when that happened. But anyways, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, oh shit, that really sucks. But yeah, 2020 was also not a normal race day, so that really sucked. And I know also our chairman, Thomas Anderson, who was also chairman in 2019 and lost that race day, I believe fractured his wrist or broke his hand or something also a couple of weeks before 2020 race day. So he was also kind of not in prime condition for that.
I honestly have a little bit different of an experience here. I hadn't officially joined as a driver until my sophomore year. So I had mostly just gone to my team's like social dinners and things. So I honestly had no idea what to expect. And then when I came in 2020 for my first race, I was just like, I guess this is what it is. Cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that is kind of interesting perspective too, just in terms of like, jumping forward to 22, which was its own kind of chaos, right, with the rain, and then 23. Was there a point where it felt like, okay, I really now have a grasp over what it means to be a driver? I'm getting the reps in, and like, I guess kind of like feeling confident in yourself and the course and kind of just buggy in general.
From the very beginning, for me, it was just the same thing. I had no other frame of reference, so I just thought it was fun and cool, any sort of reps I could get in. It felt more like everyone else felt everything was normal my junior year, but I personally always felt completely just like normal for me, I guess.
I guess for me, it was interesting because at least for my first 2 years, I actually started driving in Zug. And then I believe my second year, I switched to Serif. So, in addition to like adjusting to all the restrictions and all the different things, I also had to adjust to a different buggy. So, in reality, I guess I didn't feel that COVID adjustment as much because I was already adjusting to a whole new setting there. But 2022 was definitely different because then, with some restrictions lifted, we could actually do things like heat and really get some speed going with like no more limits on pushers, things like that.
You know, I think it's so interesting speaking about this from like a fraternity perspective or like a Greek org perspective. Because I think with, you know, student led orgs, there's always that passion, right? Because you guys aren't forcing your pledges to come out to do like rolls at 6 a.m. So I think losing that year for COVID, we really lost the institutional memory. And so really every single year, it was a completely new team, right? Like it was a completely new set, a freshman that were coming in and like a new set of kids who had, you know, gone through the recruitment process and we're like, okay, great. I'm no longer a pledge or sorry, new member. Sorry, my bad. We're no longer new members. So we're no longer obligated to come out for these little girls driving tiny cars. So I think in regards to settling back into what it means to be a driver, to be a part of a buggy organization, I really can't say I ever met. Like I felt like every single year I was driving for Pike, but I was driving for like a new set of people. So I don't know. It was just so different. And in regards to like, you know, getting your footing as a driver, I think it was hard for me because, you know, before my sophomore year, I got that crash. And then, you know, after I crashed, I didn't get back into the buggy again until my next year. And like my face healed pretty okay, but like the internal scars were alive and well. So having to adjust back to that. And then by my senior year, I was in another buggy. I went from Clio and then I was in Banshee my senior year. So having to learn again in a new buggy, it's like every single year I feel like I was learning something new. So I felt like I never really settled into being a buggy driver, but I guess it doesn't really matter in the end because, you know, got that trophy.
I feel like that's a really good point with the changing buggies. I guess that I also changed buggies every single year. And so I went from one buggy that was like the reverse trike and then forward trike and then first trike again. And so I felt like it was kind of a lot of adjustment. So I guess y'all are totally right. The adjusting back and forth made a difference too, more.
Yeah, one, I guess one thing maybe to follow up, just that was interesting to me. You kind of intimated too, like there was a bunch of turnover in Pike, but even you're saying it was kind of, I guess, like, for lack of a better term, a hot mess a little bit in there. You know, obviously the team was kind of still showing out, but you know, what were some of those maybe things? Because right, ultimately at the end of the day, y'all, like you said, you got the trophy, you got a win. But internally, you know, where kind of did you guys feel like you were as an org?
Oh, well, I don't want to air out too much of our dirty laundry. I don't want to get a text from Tom Wood. Even though Tom Wood, if you're listening, I love you very, very much, and you were so integral to my time in Pike. But I would say after John left, John Hua, big shout out. He totally him and Rob and Aaron Silverstein, they were all, and Katie, of course. Like I can't, like honestly, like Katie was basically a chairman as well. Katie did so much for Pike, as well as doing so much for DG. I truly don't know how she did it. She's insane. And Katie is the reason why I drove for Pike, so it's all her fault, truly. But my senior year is, I think, when things kind of really hit the fan. John had left, and we had just like constant changes in who our head chairman were. We had one brother, and then, for reasons he stepped away, and that was kind of a big thing. It really, really made me unhappy, especially as head driver, because I felt like it was my responsibility to set an example of how we're supposed to, show up for our team. And I felt like him leaving was a reflection on me, even though it wasn't, like it was for his own reasons. And then our head mechanic, he stepped down probably about a month before race day. I believe February, he decided to step down as well. So everything fell onto Christian
Oh, wow.
Lanuza, who at this point was only a sophomore. So it was this sophomore who thankfully had a full race day. He had a full race day under John. So if anybody really knew what they were doing, learning from John, I feel like, is the best way to do it. But yeah, so, and it's hard to gather a group of guys when they don't know who to look to and they don't know who to listen to. And because we had gone through our head chairman and then our head mechanic, and now a sophomore is asking, all of us to show up. It was really, really difficult. And I definitely cried quite a bit leading up to race day, because I was exhausted and I was really sad. And oh my God, hurting those boys sometimes is like hurting cats. They're just crazy. They're so hard to get together sometimes. But what I will say is that they so showed up in those last few weeks, and I am so grateful for them. And again, like, it paid off. We have the trophy to show for it after 15 or however many years. So it worked out. But oh my God, it was the most stressful past few like weeks of my life. Like I was calling my mom every night and being like, "Mom, I don't think you should come for buggy. I don't know. It's gonna be a mess."
That's, yeah, I mean, obviously, as an outsider, it's kind of one of those things you see race day and it's like, oh, they look pretty together. But maybe, oh,
Just
sorry, go
know
ahead.
there is one head driver trying to keep it all together for the past few years. If they looked good on race day, just know it was a short woman keeping them together.
Maybe that's the real secret to Pike success is leave it in the hands of a short woman as opposed to a brother. Sorry to all the Pikes out there. I guess maybe Cynthia, interested to kind of compare and contrast. You know, Spirit had won the year before. Seems like, you know, the team is just like in a very good place right now. Like, what was that kind of like for the team culturally coming into you know, race day 23? Was your intention to repeat, and how was, you know, how were your feelings around that, and just kind of the Spirit team culture at the time?
Yeah, well, I think after 22, we definitely haven't had a lot of momentum going into the 23 year. I think that helped a lot with getting the team motivated, really setting our sights on getting that repeat, especially since we won in a year where there were a lot of DQs, and some of those DQs applied to teams whose times would have been placed them ahead of us. So there definitely was that feeling of we need to repeat and show everyone we can do it again. in spite of DQs, regardless of DQs. So there was definitely that feeling, which was a great motivator, but of course was also just a lot of pressure because, you know, like Pike, like every other team, I think we were going into 23 with basically everyone on the team never having experienced a finals day. Like most people on our team had experienced a full race day in 22, but since we got rained out for finals, we only got that one day of prelims.
Right, the one
So
1 minute
22,
trial.
even though we had a full race day as well, it was a little bit different for all of us, just having to get to that second day and keep performing well and come out.
Yeah, I can imagine too, just like kind of the alumni start coming out of the woodwork, like, oh, we're good again. Like, this is exciting. Start putting that pressure on. And then I guess, you know, kind of Leah, I think probably an exciting opportunity for you just in terms of, right, this was the first ever all gender race, which I think was such a cool thing. And also, you know, I'm not secretly a bit of an Apex homer, so cool to see success for them. But I guess, did you have any involvement or have any backstory kind of on the origin of the all gender race and kind of what did it mean to you to be able to be, you know, a part of that inaugural race?
Yeah, I was so excited when Buggy was able to make the all gender race a thing. I feel like I'm very happy that we were able to make that happen. I don't know that there was like, I don't know what the organization was. Everyone was like just excited to make it happen whatever way possible. So I honestly wasn't sure going in what that race was going to be like. But it was super cool to be a part of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Is that, I mean, is that something I am curious because I know, right, Pike did run a team for that as well. I think, yeah, Spirit did. So all of your teams would have run for that. Like, I guess just sort of in terms of being able to participate within that, like, how did that work just kind of from a team structuring standpoint of like, okay, like, let's make sure are we like intentionally recruiting for this or, you know, I guess kind of prioritizing within the team or what was the energy around everybody trying to kind of make that race happen?
I think for Apex, we definitely were prioritizing people on the team who wanted to be a part of the all gender race specifically. And I think we had a good number of people there. And then after that, it was just finding anyone that could like fill to make sure that we could have the race because everyone wanted to have it happen. So we had other people just volunteering to fill in. I don't think that we did any sort of outside recruiting, but again, that's just because we knew we had people that were interested.
It was pretty much the same on our end as well. Like we had the numbers going in, which was great, and we already had a couple members that were very, very interested in both like the formulation of an all gender team and also being able to race in it because that was very, very important for them and their gender identity.
I think Pike was the only Greek organization to participate in all gender. Correct me if I'm wrong, Will,
I
but
believe so. I'm pulling that up. Anyway, sorry, keep going. Yeah, you are correct.
yeah, well, I mean, I know we really wanted to run a women's B, but it just kind of looked like we didn't really have the numbers for that. And so we had a lot of brothers showing up for push practice. And so it kind of just came down to, okay, like we can have a men's A and B. And I guess like anybody else like can kind of fall into all gender with the other woman that we have that didn't end up making women's A. And then I'm pretty sure we had like a few people like back out at the last minute because I just remember Christian Lanuza's Hill 5 and him not expecting to run Hill 5. I don't know. I don't even remember what happened. But Pike's all gender was the craziest thing ever. I mean, I every time I need a good giggle, I'll watch that race. But I will say, I really wanted us to participate in all gender. I come from the school of drama, and like I think existing in a lot of spaces with a lot of trans and non-binary folk, I realized the importance of like the significance and like what it means for a fraternity to support this. And I think Pike as one of the more notable Greek orgs, I felt like them supporting an all gender race would set a really good precedent for sweepstakes to keep it moving forward. And I was on sweepstakes last year as well, as the buggy book chair. I should have mentioned that, sorry. And so I was there through all of the meetings in which we were kind of talking about the all gender race, and I just knew how important it was. So I really pushed for the guys to do it. And then we got a trophy out of it. So at the end of the day, like, all we really want is hardware. So I'm like, if it's another opportunity for us to get hardware, and if it's an opportunity for one of us to get Monarch of the Hill, I was like, why not? We might as well do it.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's good. I'll have to make sure we integrate that into the parlance of the broadcast this year. Monarch of the Hill.
Thomas Cornelius won a Monarch of the Hill, and he would not shut up about it for the rest of the semester. I think he was a new member too. So he was like, guys, I'm a new member and I already won like Monarch of the Hill. And we were like, oh my God, dude. Like, okay, we get it. We get it.
I think it's important everybody participate, but I think, you know, Pike too, just kind of with their role in the history of Buggy and their right being such an established team and having such a reputation. I do want to go back also to the idea, right? Like, this was everybody's first finals day here.
Yeah.
So kind of what were those feelings like, just experience that for the first time, and the pressure and all the energy around that?
It was very interesting because last year it was like, all right, we made it to race day. We got to get out there and just do what we prepared for. And then 2023 came and it was, you got to get out there and do what you prepared for. Great, you did it. Now do it again the very next day. So that was interesting. And it was also interesting for me as well, because personally, between prelims and finals, due to certain alum feedback and just analyzing my prelims line and analyzing what we needed to prove on and such, I actually changed my line pretty drastically, I think, from day one to day two. So there was also that was a little bit nerve-wracking, but I think it paid off in the end. So
right, where you did cut almost 7 seconds off of your time. That's interesting. So it was a totally new line. I guess maybe we can get everyone's answer, but I want to dig a little more too, Cynthia. Like, you mentioned alumni feedback and stuff, like, you know, how did you kind of, I guess, as a team prepare for just having to make those kind of adjustments the day before and like, you know, going through a day two, which had never happened before, and the different timing and everything? Like, was that a lot of alum stuff, or were you all just kind of like, oh, we'll figure it out as we go?
I think it was a bit of both. It was definitely interesting and nice to be able to have a day two where we could, like, individually and as a team reflect on our performance from the first day and try to improve on that while taking into consideration other people's opinions. And we very much love our alumni. Our alumni are very supportive of us, and we're very grateful for that. And they do have some very, very valuable insights, but sometimes they also have certain suggestions that are either not feasible because perhaps they're not really something that we can do at the moment, or not something we do anymore. Or sometimes there's feedback that's, for lack of a better term, and I'm, for clarity, I'm borrowing words from Tom Felmley. These are not my words. Sometimes we get some advice that can be classified as bullshit, and we right. have to do the job of figuring out what is the valuable advice we need to listen to and think about, and what is the bullshit we need to filter out.
Yeah, and I can imagine that's extra tough, you know, not having some of these reps, and it's like, well, they seem to know what they're thinking about, but also the sport is so ever-changing. I guess we'll keep it a little spirit focused. I'm interested on this. Like, I know you changed your line, and obviously you all cut a lot of time off. And I think, you know, kind of after the DQs the year before, you know, put up a very clear top time. But how much confidence or belief did you have that you all could actually get, you know, first place and catch up on that? To be able to, you know, have such a good finals time, like, did you really believe you were going to be able to shave that much time off.
I cannot claim credit for that shave, that time shave. That is almost all the work of our mechs and our pushers. Like, they've busted their asses off for finals day, and it really showed. The line might have helped, but I think the crux of that time shave was definitely our pushers and our mechs and the things that we did to and the things that we different did differently on finals day. But yeah, I think we theory crafted our time a little bit in preparation for finals day. And the conclusion was like, or I suppose the conclusion always was that we think we can do it. It's just a matter of whether we are able to execute everything correctly on day of the race. And I think we were definitely hopeful going into finals day, but we were very aware that there were a lot of teams within close proximity of us who were also putting up extremely good times and who also could definitely improve on that time on finals day. So yeah, we were hopeful, but we were by no means confident.
Gotcha. And even within that, did you feel pressure for the repeat, or was it kind of just like, hey, we did an okay time on day one. We know we can shave it off. Let's see what happens. Or were you like, shoot, we should win. We won last time. We want to prove it wasn't a fluke.
I think I'd be lying if I said there wasn't any pressure. I know there was definitely a lot of pressure. I'm not sure. I'm not too sure about how everyone else was feeling. I know that before finals day, I had to take some time and try to calm myself down in Maggie Mo basement alone to try to just shake off the nerves a little bit. I know that a lot of people on the team, even if they weren't Even if they didn't feel pressured to win and repeat, they definitely wanted that and they had that drive and hunger for it. So, in addition to, I guess, the pressure from everyone else, I think we also had our own sort of the pressure we put on ourselves to get out there and do our best and have our best, bring home some hardware.
Awesome. I guess maybe switch lanes, kind of the apex, maybe talk a bit about the apex experience and what it felt like, having this inaugural race, but then actually being able to come out as winners and get Apex's first trophy and what were the vibes like that within the team?
I honestly feel like we had a whole lot of excitement going into this last year. I know that we have lots of people that are on the team that end up filling in lots of positions. For example, like mechanics becoming pushers and so on. And so this last year, I know that when we were first trying to figure out who was going to be running what race and where, I remember one of our push captains telling me something along the lines of like, we have like some competitive people this year, like this is super cool. And I was kind of like, okay, cool. Like I like going fast, sounds good, but I don't know that I knew what to expect. And so having in general like faster races this year was super great for the whole team was so excited for every time that we went out there. I think we broke like all of our
I was
records.
going to say, I think you broke every team record because you drove
Yep.
A for all three teams, right?
Yes. Yep. I just remember the energy every time we came back and me being like, I just did a race, all the like, adrenaline you get from that coming out and having everyone just like screaming because they saw the time. It was a really exciting experience for us.
Right. Because two, I think what you got trophy for all gender, I think, and then also for men's, right? That was your best finish ever.
I want to say it wrong, but I think we had, yeah, we had very many trophies in a picture somewhere. I don't know what they were all for. I thought they were a lot.
Is funny though. It's kind of just this blur of like so much about the mutual team success or whatever. It's less like, oh yeah, we won for X, Y, and Z. It was just like, wow, Apex is feeling themselves this year.
Yeah, we were doing it.
And then yeah, I guess Juju, if you want to talk a little bit about the Pike experience and probably the roller coaster of emotions involved in everything last year and the win and kind of finally getting that trophy on the men's side that, you know, had kind of escaped Pike for so long.
Oh God, yeah. Honestly, like truly the most emotional whirlwind for me. Like, I'll admit it, I'm a crybaby. I'm very emotional. I mean, I got a BFA in drama. What do we expect? But I think leading up to race day, it's so funny. My parents both came out. My dad was a Pike at his undergraduate institution. It wasn't CMU. But he came out to watch, so like he's in his all of his Pike gear. My mom's in all of her buggy gear, and I remember being at dinner with my mom the night before, I think prelims, and I couldn't eat. I'm just like staring at my $5 chicken sandwich from Urban Tap, and I just
It
could not eat. And my
was only
mom,
$5.
oh
Inflation's
my God, yes,
crazy.
late night happy hour at Urban Tap is insane. This is not sponsored. I wish it was, but it's not. But it's great. I recommend. But yeah, my mom actually took a picture. I'm crying into my sandwich because I was so anxious. I was just like, I just feel the weight of all of the hard work that this team has put in. I feel the weight because John Hua and Katie Zapanta were back in town too. So I really, really felt the pressure. And of course, it was my senior year, and my parents paid all this money to come out, and I really wanted to do well for everybody. So I was quite unwell. I was really, really stressed. I was crying all the time. But then thankfully on race day, I was able to kind of cool it. I made myself like a playlist. I was sitting in the back of the truck. I was like, nobody talk to me unless you're gonna get me a hot dog. They did get me a hot dog this year, thank God. They didn't last year, and it was a huge source of contention. So yes, I calmed myself down, and then that Friday was just so exciting. I mean, our guys were just really running. They were doing great. They were doing a great job. Our mechanics were really proud. And then that night, after we found out, we made it to finals, and all of that good stuff. I know the alumni really pulled through. The alumni were just so excited because they were like, "This is a real chance of us finally getting that trophy back." So I don't know what happened, but all I know is that, all of the alumni were in a basement somewhere till like 4 a.m. And thankfully I wasn't there for that. I was in bed, resting for the big day. And very similarly to Cynthia, I was getting a lot of notes on my line, like so many notes on my line before finals. And it's always so funny getting notes from the alumni because at the end of the day, like, none of them have ever been in a buggy, and there's this great picture of me with John Hua and Eric Bruner, and they drew out a diagram of how I need to fix my line, and these guys are like two heads taller than me at least. Like, they are towering over me, and here are these guys telling me how to drive a buggy, and I'm like, okay, cool, like, yeah, I'll take those notes. I did take those notes, obviously, but not without me giving my two cents on why they shouldn't be giving me any comments. But yeah, that day, that Friday, that finals day, that was intense. It was a lot. And I felt a lot of pressure to shave off time with my line. And I don't know if I ended up doing that. And honestly, like, it really stresses me out even thinking about it and whether or not I did it. I'm so glad that we ended up winning. Because if we hadn't, and I knew that I could have done something, it would probably haunt me to this day. So thank goodness it all worked out. Because I literally still have dreams about doing buggy, and it would be awful if those were like nightmares. So I'm glad they're all nice and peaceful dreams of driving a buggy at 5 a.m.
That's really nice. I get Buggy's nightmares now that race day is over.
Oh, I mean, I get the occasional stress dream. I get the stress dream of us driving on ice,
Oh,
like they're
dear.
sending us down the hill, and
Wow.
it's been raining, and the ice is slick, and they're like, "Oh, you'll be fine." Those are my buggy stress dreams.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, that's terrifying. I guess kind of with the alumni pressure there, like what, you know, it sounded like it was a lot of support, but also a lot of pressure. I guess kind of like what was it like once you all found out you had won? Because I believe, right, and we don't need to get a ton of this, it was like a DQ, right, with CIA that allowed you all to take the top spot, if I remember correctly.
No, that is correct. I don't know by how much they beat us. I believe it might have been a few seconds.
I think it was like a
Which,
second, but anyways,
yeah.
if you want to talk about how that felt, that's fine. But I guess, like, regardless, right, within some of that drama, like when everyone finally found out, like, how excited was that? Like, what was it like just kind of being a pike, or honorary pike, in the following hours, day, whatever, of finally getting that win?
Yeah, I mean, it's overwhelming to think about. I mean, on one hand, it was truly like I got so many phone calls from our alumni in like Rob, Aaron, like I was getting and I yeah, no, it was insane getting that DQ win. I mean, but at the same time, some of our older alumni definitely had some feelings about it. I think in their minds, like that is not the way that we should have gotten our trophy back. Like, I think they wanted to earn it what they considered fair and square, by, like having the best time. But something that Connor ended up telling me later that night, because later that night, I mean, obviously I had to celebrate with the brothers, like, and that was crazy and so much fun and just truly like all of the best emotions that you could ever have. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was insane. I would say it was so fratty, but that's what you would expect, obviously.
It's Pike, we
Yeah,
live up to our stereotypes at some point.
it was the sweetest and best fratty boys. They had so much fun. And I had so much fun. But later that night I went out with the alumni and my dad, because my dad ended up just hitting it off with his brothers from a different school. And so I went and I saw Connor, BAA Connor, and I was
Yeah,
telling him,
was
I was
this at
like, yeah,
Hopper House? I think I might have been
yes,
there.
this was at Hopper House. Yeah, did I
Okay,
see you
yeah. Allegedly.
there? Anyways, no, but Connor bought me a beer, and he was like, and I was telling him, I was like, yeah, like the guys over there, the geezers over there, like I love them, and they are so happy, but they can't help but be like, congratulations, but also not the way we wanted to win.
Oof.
And it definitely stung, because in my mind I'm like, y'all, I just like shoved my body into a tube for 4 years for you, and I did what I said I was gonna do. I won for us, and for you to be like, like blah, 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 it was hard. But Connor was like, look, one of the main things in buggy and of finals and of race day is that you don't get disqualified. That
Right.
is one of the things that you are trying to do on race day. You're trying to go fast, you're trying to get good times, and you're trying not to get disqualified. So if that happened and that's how you guys won, it's a valid way to win. And I was like, you know what? Like, I agree with that, and I'm gonna take that to my grave. So when I die one day, you're gonna see on my grave, disqualification is a valid way to win. Juju Nieto, Pika Racer.
I guess any other race day memories or memories from last year, and then we'll get into some other kind of reflective future stuff, whatever. But things maybe we haven't touched on that you did want to share about either winning last year or anything kind of tied to that.
I will say, some of the people in the School of Drama told me after I won, they were like, the happiest we have ever seen you at this institution at during your time in Carnegie Mellon, the happiest we have ever seen you was when you went onto that stage to get the trophy. We have never seen you
Oh.
happier. And these are people that have known me like since I was a freshman, and I'm like, that's so silly. But yeah, it was truly like one of the best moments ever. Like, I will never forget winning, and I literally took graduation pictures with that freaking behemoth of a trophy. It was that big for me and for the organization and for my parents. They really were so proud of me. I'm like the least athletic in the family, so for me to take a championship home, like, it really meant something for the culture.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that trophy is almost as tall as we are.
Yeah, those trophies are crazy.
Now you're all alums. Congratulations. That's exciting. Do you have any thoughts on kind of where you think things are going with the teams this year, or even just things you're really kind of looking out for this year in terms of race day, whether you're able to hopefully be there in person, but if not, hopefully watch the races at least?
I mean, I will be there in person, and I personally am looking forward to not knowing that much actually about what's been going on within like Buggy Buggy and just enjoying the races, enjoying Carnival to its fullest without having to stress about the races, I guess. I think I'll probably end up still stressing over the races and how we do and anything that might happen on the day of the races, but you know, probably inevitable at this point.
Pretty unrelated to other teams and how they're doing, but I'm just excited to return now as an alumni and being able to push now, like in the alumni race, or if there's going to be like a driver heat. Just excited to participate as an alum this time. Full different experience, I'm sure.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, likewise, I'm really excited to I'll be coming back, and I'm so very excited. I'm so excited to see all of the guys. I miss them. I can't even lie. I miss waking up. I don't miss waking up early, but I miss the shenanigans that we would get into together. I miss getting yelled at for having loud music or for doing something stupid on the course. So I'm really excited to see everybody again, and I'm excited to actually be able to enjoy Carnival. I for the past two carnivals, I don't really think I did anything because I was just so stressed out and so like paranoid about sleeping through my alarms and then missing buggy somehow. I'll never forget, and this is like so bad, but I gave John Hua the key to my house, and I was like, just in case I fall asleep, just in case you have a way to get into my home and wake me up. And I did the same thing my senior year. I was like, I'm leaving the door unlocked. I was like, whatever happens to me and my roommates happens, as long as you know that I can be woken up for race day. So I'm excited to not have that pressure. I'm excited to have fun. I'm excited to see everybody, and I'm hoping we'll take home some hardware this year. So
Yeah, sleeping before race day will be a change. Very nice change.
not feeling sick to my stomach will be so exciting.
So true.
Any predictions or guesses or things even you kind of want to see out of your teams or other teams on the course this year?
I wanted to take everything home. I know that there's just been an outpouring of alumni support since our win last year, and I know that the guys are doing well this year. I get updates every now and then, and they're really excited. So I'm expecting the cream of the crop. I'm expecting the best. And if anything less happens, I'm taking down the organization.
Oh
I'm
dear.
burning down their new house in the Greek quad. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking, but I'll have words, that's for sure.
I think all of us would be really hoping for our teams to repeat, if not sweep, or get more hardware. This is really off topic, sorry. Will, I did not realize you were a SCoSH alum as well.
Oh yeah. That was my big thing with the carnival show was do the buggy play by play and then like sprint over to Rangos. Like I don't even know. I was in shows and doing the buggy broadcast and not to toot my own horn, but I don't understand physically how I could make sounds come out of myself that much. Anyways, sorry, now this is just getting weird. But yeah, go Scotch. Cool. Yeah, Leah, anything you're looking forward to or prediction team wise or whatever?
Definitely no predictions, but like everyone else, I'll be super excited if my team does well again this year, but just excited to be there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting race day, especially with SDC back in the fold. And to give us a plug, we actually had a really nice interview earlier on this season with the new SDC leadership, and very curious to see how they do. But seems like a bit of an attitude change in a good way for the team. So I think a lot of fun storylines. Cool. I think we're about winding down, but any other things you'd like to share? I don't know. Like I kind of always like to ask, like, is there a thing you feel like Buggy taught you or a big takeaway? I think it's always fun to hear those from people as we kind of wind things down.
I think Buggy unironically gave me every single like spreadsheet, Microsoft Excel, Google Sheets form skill I have. And it's all like shout out Mame Kandua.
when I had just been brought into like chairmanship with Mame and Noni Sheldon, like every plan, like big event schedule, budget, anything we were doing, we would have a spreadsheet for. And Mame was amazing with spreadsheets, like actually a spreadsheet goddess, like very, very organized. And I was lucky enough to pick up some spreadsheet skills from her. So if anyone says Buggy doesn't teach you life skills, they're lying.
I've heard a lot of different takes on the life skills. I don't know if I've ever heard spreadsheets before on here. So, I mean, as a spreadsheet lover myself, that's a good one.
For me, like, I feel like I can finally consider myself an athlete now that I've done Buggy. And I think this experience really, really helped me get so much closer with my parents, crazily enough. My parents are both like really big sports fans. Again, my dad was a Pike. And I just growing up was not a sports girl. I was always doing the arts. I was always doing theater. I was always doing choir and stuff like that. And not my parents. I know my parents love supporting me, but finally being able to do a sport for them and like win and like just give them an opportunity to like go crazy cheering for me was just so, so special. And now it's just something that we just will always be able to share together. So I really think that's, it was just so special. Like my mom's literally in the next room and I know she's listening and she would agree. Like Buggy was just such a special thing for our family to bond over. So I'm really, really grateful for it in that regards. And also it is a great icebreaker. I will talk about Buggy in any first date setting, any job interview, even just trying to make friends. I'm like, hey, you guys want to see me be in a really small car getting pushed down a hill? It's really cool. You'll really think I'm cool after you see the video. Like, don't worry. So that's been great too. And also I have this community forever now and I'm so, so grateful for that. So it's been wonderful. I miss it. I miss it so much. I bawled like a baby the last time I got out of a Buggy and I'm sure I'll never be the same.
I honestly just loved being a part of Buggy all through college and the group of people that I got to meet, and shout out to our absolutely amazing drivers. Just hanging out with all of them and bonding over things like caffeine runs to the vending machine, like after course box and everything. It was just a great experience. Loved it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, this has been really interesting. I think kind of paints just a cool picture of the current world of Buggy and, you know, kind of the state of these different orgs. I appreciate y'all sharing all that. Do you have any other things you'd like to share or something I may not have asked about before we wrap up here?
I mean, I just want to give a big shout out to my boys, like the brothers of Pi Kappa Alpha, like Christian Lanuza, you know, like Matt Wellner, Ryan Nagel, Miguel. I'm so proud of you guys. I doubt you're going to listen to this, but if you do, like, I want you to know how proud I am of you guys for continuing the Buggy legacy. And for all of the Pikes, God, I love you. You guys drove me crazy, but I love them all so much. So I'm just so grateful that they let me drive for them for so long.
I guess we're doing shout outs. I also have to shout out like the members of our team that have supported our team, made our team who we are the 4 years that I was part of that team, and made that team really a family and a home, and also the alumni that supported us throughout that. I'm really scared to name names in case I forget people, but other than the folks I've already named, I think previously within the podcast, also big shout outs to like Charlisa Tarpe. I'm so scared I'm going to forget someone. Big shout outs to Charlisa, Lane, Shaw, Darby, Matt Wagner, Joe Frick.
I'll let him know he'll have to tune in.
And so many other people. I'm so sorry to folks who I didn't name. I know there are so many of you. I swear I did not forget. We are just on very short time right now.
Yeah, it's this is why people write down their acceptance speeches or whatever. It's you know, these orgs are so big and so much history and so many alum and so many students. It's like, you know, we could probably have a 90-minute acknowledgement episode just thanking people, which is probably not that good of radio or podcast or whatever you call this.
No, definitely. Absolutely everybody on the team. Everyone brought so much enthusiasm, made it happen, just so much excitement, just making it such a good time. And again, extra shout out to all my drivers. It's a great experience.
Awesome.
Congratulations again, and thank you to all three of them for coming on. Makes you wonder who will be this year's three winners. Well, we will know this weekend because it's race day. I'm fired up. Hopefully that episode got you fired up, but we would love to hear your thoughts on it or any other episode regardless in our Discord. If you just go to cmubuggy.org/chat, that is cmubuggy.org/chat. You can sound off in our Discord about the podcast, but really anything. That's going to be one of your go-tos for race day this year. If you want to stay in on the conversation and you are not around Pittsburgh, but cmubuggy.org as well, going to be a great resource. Got to plug that. You can check out the live stream there. Check out all the team's times, all kinds of race data, the whole schedule's up there for any and all buggy events. So got a shout out to the whole BAA for all the hard work they are putting in to make this happen. Things going to be kicking off on Wednesday on WRCT at 3 p.m. apparently is when we're doing the race day preview. Wednesday, April 10th. Maybe that's today. I'm not positive when this is coming out. So tune in. I think I'm hosting that. If you want to hear my voice more, although I'll mostly let people who know what they're talking about talk. And then all the rest of the schedule, again, you can find on cmubuggy.org to enjoy the races and carnival festivities this weekend. That's a wrap on this season. We have made it through 5 years, five hills of this show. Cannot have done it without Rachel Schmidt. So again, really want to give her flowers. Has done a ton of work to make this possible. All the editing, wrangling behind the scenes. So thank you very much to Rachel and all the BAA who have supported this podcast and all of you who listen. So hopefully I'm not just speaking out into the void, but it's been cool what we've done, and hopefully we'll continue to do. So thank you very much, everyone. If you are here for race day, I will be calling it. So come by and say hi. For Rachel Schmidt, this is Will Weiner. Thank you for tuning in this season of Shoot the Shit.